Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. It's Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Mylon Yurkovich and your phone calls today here on New Life Live. We're glad you're with us today for New Life. Thanks for joining us.
Struggling with abandonment issues, and I want to know how to move forward from it.
How would I reconcile a betrayal from a friend that was just a really deep wound?
I can always do good for short periods of time.
Yeah.
Like, pick myself right back up.
Michael, I believe you, and I hear that in you, we see that. But none of us were designed to have to pick ourselves up.
First of all, I'm wondering why it has to be somebody's fault that he died, because terrible things do happen in life.
I think you're going to lose this battle.
I have to let it go, don't I?
Yeah.
Part of what I would do is spend some time preparing my family to say, this is going to be tough, but we need to put it in the context of what would Jesus have us do.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with two great friends and great colleagues, Dr. Dave Stoop. Dave, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here as always.
Dave, we've known each other since about 1984.
About 1980. Yeah.
That's a long enough, I think right there. Mylon, you and I have known each other for what, about a decade?
Yeah.
Pretty close to a decade. And we've only had a couple of arguments the whole time between the three of us. So we're pretty happy about that. Hey, I want to talk to you guys about something. You've got great minds, you have great insight. But a lot of times on our program, we talk about people who have been abused and gone through trauma, and they're struggling. 20 years later, it's just affected so much of their life. They're very damaged. But there are cases where people go through trauma and abuse, and 5 years later, they're thriving. They are healthy. They're doing well. It hasn't destroyed their life. What's the difference in the two scenarios there?
Well, I think one difference would be that those who thrive have grieved,
mm-hmm.
and grieving brings closure, you know. And I think that grieving is difficult because it involves two emotions primarily: the anger and the sadness.
Yes.
And you know, men like to do the angry part, but we're
not
afraid of the sad part.
Yeah.
And women do the opposite, you know. I've had women, you know, get angry for a half a second and then dissolve into tears. You know, it's like they can't hold on to it. And you really got to do both. And I think when somebody has had, you maybe need help to do both, and somebody has grieved what was lost in that abuse,
mm-hmm.
they're free now to move into the future. Those who don't, they're still hanging on to it. It becomes part of them.
Yeah.
And the longer that goes on, the harder it is for them to break free.
That's a great point. I do. You and I are getting ready to do a New Life Perspective entitled Repurposing Your Life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the people who thrive as opposed to being perpetually victimized by the trauma are the people who look at it having grieved and done everything Dave just said, and they all of a sudden they ask, so what is the purpose of this in my life? And they turn it into a testimony, a ministry, a story, where they decide for the rest of their lives they're not going to be continually victimized anymore by this.
Yes.
They're going to take charge of it.
Yeah.
And they're going to take and move with it instead of being victimized by it.
One other thing that I heard.
Now, Dave was excited.
Oh, sorry.
Really excited.
No, wait,
what I'm hearing is something that it was on another program. It's the difference between why, asking why, and asking what.
Yeah.
And those who continue to be victimized are still asking why. Those who are moving on say, what does God want to teach me in this?
Yeah. And do with this.
And
teach
with
me
this.
And then continue
and
to do
can
with
he
it.
Use this?
Yeah.
Remember the Central Park jogger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's out speaking to folks now about recovering from trauma. And one of the things she said that helped her was to depersonalize the event.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, she was a random jogger. Mm-hmm. Had nothing to do with her. Could have happened to one of 1,000 people. And by depersonalizing it, she essentially took her part out of it. You know, she didn't feel, oh, I deserve this. Oh, God was punishing me, whatever. It was a random thing. They were going to attack somebody, and she randomly came by. I don't know. It just seemed a really healthy thing that
she didn't get caught in the why.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I think that's the trap we've got to watch out for.
Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll come back right after this for more New Life Live.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're back. Let's talk with John from KMFC, Columbia, Missouri. Hello, John.
Hello.
Thanks for holding on there. And James, we're coming to you next, buddy. John, how can we help you today?
Well, I'm looking for advice. My wife and I are about 2 years post-affair.
Okay.
And we have been blessed to still be in this marriage, I think. And I know. And we've made some great strides, but I feel like we're stuck over the last few months.
What are you stuck over?
I think just feels like that we made maybe such big strides the first year to 18 months that we're not that what we're doing now, like there's some communication problems, just either it's on finances or things with the kids.
Most men leave when a woman is unfaithful. Why'd you stay?
Well,
and I'm congratulating you for that. I'm applauding you for that and encouraging you, but I'm just curious what was in you.
Well, I think that I realized that at least part of what she did, that I certainly had a role in that.
You had a role in it. You're able to see that you had set up the division.
Sure. I mean, there were, whether it was work or I never really wanted to admit it. I feel like I did have a problem with pornography.
Mm-hmm.
And there may have been some disconnectedness at times.
Okay. And, all right. So rather than make her the all bad person, you said, okay, well, I've done some bad things too.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. So now what's happening in this communication problem that you're having?
Well, there's a number of things, whether it's, just an example would be finances and definitely not being able to, I guess, come to each other with issues that each one of us may deal with, whether, you know, I handle monthly bills and Jen handles a lot of the monthly type of activities, groceries and those kind of things. And, you know, if we're running short on one thing or the other, or if we'd like to do a different activity, just not being able to, and I don't know if it's anything trust-based or just not knowing, again, what each one of us communicates most appropriately by or with.
Mm-hmm. You know, John, what I think has happened, you guys did the repair work, but now you're kind of back where you were maybe 3 or 4 years ago before any of this happened. Does that make sense?
I would agree with that. Yeah. And that's the kind of way I feel, that I feel like that there's some things that we didn't get to the root of that led us down maybe a wrong path to begin with that we need to get to.
Have you thought about New Life Weekend for the two of you?
You know, I have. I've thought about different types of counseling. We did some couple counseling early on and then divided and did some individual counseling. We have not reconvened, and I approached the issue about going to an activity that was called an intentional marriage conference. And Jen was very, I guess, I don't know, that was not something Jen was open to doing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think if you guys got to New Life Weekend, if you could get her just to agree to that one thing and tell her I'm not going to ask you to ever ask you anything else after this, if you'll just go to this one thing, I think it will blow the door off of some of this this communication dilemma or stalemate that you're in, I think it will really help you. That something like that, if it's not the New Life Weekend, I think you need some kind of intensive where you guys can focus for a certain amount of time and break through back to each other. I think Dave's got a good point. You've kind of gotten through this crisis, but you're settling back into where you were. Mylon, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's possible they could go to a New Life Weekend and nothing had changed, or any kind of a weekend and nothing had changed, because if, John, I'm comparing against an ideal, if ideal is my goal, then you would think if ideally we had the right marriage, we'd never have a communication problem at all, or we would never miss one another in the finances. And perhaps you're stuck or stalled out because you're at a place that's common to life, that we all have places where we don't communicate perfectly about finances. We miss each other all the time, and maybe there's nothing wrong with that. In other words, how high of a bar am I trying to set as to where we ought to be?
Yeah, right.
You know, if we're having a battle about this and we're arm wrestling, that's one thing. But if we just are missing, well, that's where every couple is. And right. So maybe you're going and you're saying, well, we have to keep working really, really far till we hit an ideal place where, gosh, we would never have this kind of a problem. I'm going, it may be too ideal and not realistic enough. So what do you think, John?
I think that I may have that from time to time. I'm much more of probably a forward looker, and Jen's much more of a live in the now.
Right. So could forward looker mean an idealist?
I'd like to think it's optimistic, but maybe idealistic may be appropriate.
Okay. So does Jen, since you mentioned her name, at times does she chafe against your idealism?
Yes.
Okay. Then I think that's the issue that you need to work on, your idealism, her reality base, and that there's a gap between the two of those. She can live in reality. It's hard for you to not live in a state of idealism. And that may be more of the issue. And I think I'm not saying anything different than Dave and Steve. Yes, you could work on things, but I think you really need to look at that piece. And you rarely ever hear this part of a discussion taking place in conferences, seminars. I think it's an important question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I appreciate, first of all, to Stephen and Dave, your books. You guys actually called in a couple months after it all happened, Healing is a Choice and Unforgiving, Unforgivable.
Those sure.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Great resources. So thank you so much for...
All right. Let's send you How We Love. I think you're
going to... Well, and send them Just Us, too, the devotional for couples.
Right. Yeah. You keep calling, we'll keep sending the books, okay? And we're glad that you called, and God bless you there.
One other thought, too, James. Maybe you're wanting it to be ideal, because then it would feel safe, and that may be just some ongoing work you need to look at, is to know that this isn't going to happen again, and to kind of rest in that.
Yep. Okay, now, James, hold on. I'm coming to you next, but I want to check in with Jason Martinkus from EMB. Are you there, Jason?
I'm here. Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
Doing great. Thank you.
Okay, now you just had, you're having another event. You have one every month, Every Man's Battle, for guys struggling with sexual integrity or sexual addiction. Where is the next one going to take place and when?
Let's see. I believe we're going to be August 12th through 14th in Sacramento, California.
Okay, you were just in Los Angeles, California. Tell me, what is the change that you see from Friday to Sunday morning?
Friday to Sunday. One of the things that I love to see in the guys is coming to a place where they identify and take ownership for their needs. This last weekend, I had a guy come up to me when we closed the end of the workshop. He said, I came into the workshop a tough guy. I didn't need anything from anyone. And I realized that I'm not a tough guy. You know what I need is a hug. And ask me for a hug. It's a really special moment for him to ask for that.
Yeah.
It's so hard for us to do.
Right.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. All right.
That's fabulous.
And that type of heart melting, heart transformation occurs in so many of these guys. So I'm just going to suggest, if you're married or going with, or you sense something, or you could have a fiance and just say, look, I want you to go because I don't ever want this to be a problem in our marriage. I want you to just get taken care of. Just go and learn what you can learn. You'll become more of a man. and I just thank you, Jason, for what you do. You do a great, great job. And so does your wife in helping these men see the effect that they have on the women.
Steve, you know what the hug means?
What's the hug mean?
It means that this guy is now turning to people for relational relief.
There you go.
From stress, as opposed to non-relational relief,
so good.
Which is pornography.
Yeah. Well, Jason, thank you, my friend. Thanks for calling us today.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Thanks,
see you next
Jason.
Time. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right, I said we'll go to James, and we're going to James from Tampa, Florida. WTLN is the station. Hello, James.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for holding.
Yeah, I've got a question for you. I'm kind of entering into a buzzsaw here. Last week ago, today.
Yeah.
My wife asked me for a divorce.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What was going on before the divorce?
Well, you know, if you got time, I've got a backstory for you, and I at least what I think the problem is. You know, my wife was essentially abandoned as a child by her father, and I know it's caused her tremendous amounts of pain. And I was never, quite honestly, I was never man enough to get in that with her. You know, right now, I mean, she tells me, she says, "I still love you. You're a great husband. You're a great father, a great provider, but you just can't love me the way I need you to love me." And she said she's in too much pain and she wants a divorce.
Wow. I'm so sorry.
And the big thing, and I've pleaded, I've begged, I've done everything, but she says, you know, it's inevitable. Essentially, the kids are going away to camp next week, church camp, and she says she wants to sit down and talk about it. I'm essentially going to tell her this is just my take, and I want to make sure I want you guys to tell me if I'm doing the right thing. Her, she's already kind of expressed this, that, you know, she thinks, you know, I should leave the house and, you know, then we should work mutually on a divorce. And, you know, my stance is I don't want a divorce. I don't want my kids to see my back walking out that door and thinking that I thought this was a good idea. And so I want to tell her that I'm not leaving. And if she wants to leave, she can leave. It sounds a little heartless to me, but that's kind of the way I feel.
Okay.
And I want to get your take on it and see what you guys think. Because I don't want to hurt her. I know she's in pain. And I don't want to hurt her anymore.
Yeah.
And we've been to counseling. Quite honestly, we've been to counseling. And once the counselor started to zero in on saying to her that, you know, there's some big, deeper issues here that you're, you know, abandonment issues and things, she stopped going to counseling.
That's very classic of what we describe in our book as the vacillator, the ambivalently attached person who is ambivalent about relationships. They want to come close, they want to pull away, they want to come close, they pull away. And they do have abandonment themes in their histories. And typically, they have a craving for closeness that somehow you just don't satisfy. And what we say a lot is that the craving is turned on hot. It's turned on too high. And so they're expecting too much out of the marriage. And so what you're describing is very classic, something we see commonly in our offices. And I think there's a part of you that is right in saying, I'm not going to let this person tell me what I ought to do. In other words, she's the one that's gone catastrophic. She's the one that said, this is over. She's the one that's gone to the all bad place. Why should you have to be the one to take the steps because of her judgments that we know at this point may not be, or they may be askew? I love what you said, where you said, I have not been able to engage with her. And the goal is to learn to lean into her pain, be able to engage with her, be able to tell her and show her, not just promise, but show her that you're willing to do that. And if you ever want her back, you're going to have to be able to lean into her pain and just be able to tolerate it.
Yeah, no, I know, believe me. The thing is, I think we've been making progress because I've been to some men's weekends with other ministries and focused on those things. So I believe that I thought we were making progress, but just kind of out of the blue the other day, she said it's over.
Yeah, well, it's not out. You know, she went to an all bad place, and that, you know, that could hit her. It could be out of the blue for her that she all of a sudden feels this all bad place. And the question is, are you going to let a person who does a good bad split be the one that determines what your house is and how your house is going to behave. And that's a very important question, how to delicately handle that.
Well, you got to be very careful, James, because if you're right on, and I support what you're doing, but you got to do it with great tenderness. Because if you do agree to it, then you've just abandoned her, and it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy on her side. See, you know, I'm not comfortable leaving, but you got to frame it in a way that is showing concern for what she's struggling with, but also takes the stand on, you know, I'm not giving up. I'm working on this. I'm going to continue to work on it.
All right,
I'm not going anywhere.
And I've got one other point I want to make, so if you hold on, I'll make it when we come back, okay?
Sure will. I will.
All right, James. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. July 15th, right smack dab in the middle of summer. We'll talk about that later.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. I said, James, I had one other little piece of advice. I don't want you to be a wimp, but I think if it's not connecting, don't do it. In other words, if you don't have to bring something up, don't bring it up if it's going to cause some kind of friction and all.
Sure.
If you can find excuses to have discussions that are caring, loving, and connecting, look for those things.
Okay.
You know, I mean, even if it's a puppy. I mean, if that's all you can both agree that it's cute, then, okay, there's some kind of connection. There's a cute puppy. But I think these guys are giving you some great advice, and I just hope that you'll get the help that you need, not only to survive this, but maybe even to help turn it around.
Yeah, and that's what I'm praying for, and I have a lot of people praying for me. So, I appreciate it.
All right. Have you read How We Love?
No, I have not.
Coming your way, I think it's going to, you know how light bulbs come on?
Yep.
Well, this will be like Vegas. That kind of light show. All right, we'll see you. I'm glad that you called. Thanks for holding on there. Let's talk with Mike from Nashville, Tennessee. Mike listens on WENO. So let's see how Mike is doing. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's happening in your life?
I'm sorry?
What's happening in your life?
For a number of years, I'm 37, I've been addicted to pornography. I started looking at it, I guess, probably when I was 10 or 11. I'm married and I have two kids. And she knew I had a problem. She found out about it quite a number of years, a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we bought, you know, I got the book and I never read it. Every Man's Battle, just didn't read it. We both kind of let it go, and I still had a problem. And last week, you know, I was left alone, and I went into a kind of a, like a frenzy, I guess. And I actually let it seep over into reality. I look at pretty much everything, nothing illegal. Well, I guess it's all illegal.
Well, what do you mean you let it slip over in reality?
This is what I don't understand. This is why I'm calling. I look at, you know, various types of pornography, and I'm attracted to women, but for whatever reason, I decided to, you know, go same sex,
mm-hmm.
and actually, you know, commit, you know, adultery. Well, and it was brief. It was, you know, it was like something I felt like I had to get out of my system.
Mm-hmm.
And it was stupid, and I don't know what to do. And she's, you know, I don't want to lose my family.
So what did you tell her?
I told her everything. I told her exactly what happened.
And
I had to. I couldn't live with myself. I was on the verge, you know. I was afraid I'd, you know, either hurt myself or, you know, I just couldn't handle it. I'm not that type of person to just hold things in like that. She knows everything about me.
So let me just clarify. So you looked at some same-sex pornography, and then you went to a place and you met with somebody?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And so then you came back and you confessed that to her?
Yes.
And what was her reaction?
She's very upset. She doesn't understand as I don't understand, because I've never, you know, seen a man walking down the street and went, you know, oh my goodness, look at that. I'm not that type of person.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, I've reached out to that, and I don't know if I just, maybe I'm self-destructive. I mean, I don't know why I chose. And I mean, every time I've looked at it in the past, it didn't start off with that. It always started off with just regular pornography, and then it branched off into some other stuff.
One of the things that's interesting about pornography, and really all sin, is sin is progressive, and the enemy loves to get a hook in us and then build on that. So what I mean by progressive is we start off at a certain level, and it's very exciting, and then with certain with some time and you're used to seeing that, your brain gets used to that level of stimulation. And so what you have to do is you have to increase the dosage in order to get another jolt of stimulation, because once you get used to a certain level, it's not as exciting anymore. And so it is not uncommon, Mike, and you're not the first person that's ever told me this, of how pornography has gone on into all kinds of levels of acting out, into same-sex, all kinds of, I'm going to use a strong word here, all kinds of deviations from God's plan. And so it does not surprise me. The question is, if you've been doing something for since you were 10 years old, that's 27 years, and your brain was formed around this type of excitement, acceleration, and adrenaline, it's going to take more than reading just a book for you to detoxify and to change your brain back to a place where it's more settled. Dave, you might have some comments on that.
Well, you've got to really get yourself to an Every Man's Battle workshop, Mike. I mean, if you're beating yourself up for this and trying to understand it, you need to listen to what Mylon just said. There's a progression to every addiction, and that's the nature of an addiction. And
you go to Every Man's Battle, you're going to hear guys that progressed to same sex. You're going to hear about guys that progressed to animals. There's nothing done that isn't common, but mm-hmm. The question is, what are you going to do? Are you going to lay there in your shame and hope your wife forgives you, or are you going to man up, go get this thing taken care of?
Yeah, you got to do that.
I'm ready to fix it.
Okay.
I want to fix it.
You're beyond reading a book about it.
Okay.
I want you to hold on. I want to give you some information. You need to be at Every Man's Battle, and I want you to call us back, and I want you to tell us how it went. And then she needs to go to women in the battle. That would really, really help her.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
All right. Talking with Mike here. We're hoping that he's going to go to Every Man's Battle. Anything you want to ask before we go, Mike? I just want to be sure that you're going to do something rather than just feel bad.
Yeah, I mean, I want to take care of this. I want my family. I want my life back. I just don't know, you know, how to go about it. I don't know how to make her understand that I'm not.
You don't make her understand. You make her see that you're going to do something about it. Honey, I'm going to Every Man's Battle in 2 weeks. I'm just begging you, don't make any decisions. I want to go. I want to get this taken care of. Now, that's the thing that women respond to.
Okay? And if you don't understand it, how are you going to make her understand
it? That's exactly what I was going to say.
It's not understandable.
Yeah, you don't even understand it.
It's an addiction.
But there is hope if you take a very strong stance that I'm going to make this a lifetime challenge. I think for all males, because the book's entitled Every Man's Battle.
Yeah.
All males for an entire lifetime have to understand it's a lifetime battle. I must manage my sexuality.
That's right. Yeah. All right. Let's go to Jill from Rockland, California. KFIA is the station. Hi, Jill.
Hi.
How you doing today?
I'm not doing well at all.
What's the problem?
I'm pretty sure that I have OCD. And I have it so bad that I have it's a difficult time just functioning. And I wondered if you guys had some information maybe that you could help me.
Tell us what your OCD is like. Tell us what's going on in your mind and what you're doing physically.
What's going on? Well, currently I'm just like trying to clean my house. And so that starts with like cleaning all my floors. And then I'll try to do that and like clean the carpet and clean the floors, and then I'll like do something or drop something and get the floors dirty, and then I feel like I have to clean them again. And this is like with the walls, with most of the things in my house, with my car.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically feel like I'm boxed in, and I don't have a way out, and I feel really isolated, and like I have no love, and I'm a failure. It's horrible.
Okay. Well, that's really, really tough. That's very, very tough. Now, are you able to look at this and link this to anything that's happened in your past?
I don't know what you mean.
Well, is there something that's happened to you that, when you look at it, kind of makes sense? For instance, if you felt dirty as a little girl, if you were sexually abused, and maybe now you're obsessed with cleanliness and trying to wash this out of your life or something like that. Can you think of anything that would make this make sense? Or is it simply, it could be a chemical thing, but is there something in your past?
I've had like a lifelong stream of things. When I was 15, I was raped between like 15 and 20 men. I was dragged and beaten and raped, and basically my life continued that way.
What kind of help did you get after all of that happened?
None.
Did those men go to prison?
No.
Why was that?
I don't know. At 15, I didn't really understand what to do.
Where was your mama? Where did your mom and where were your mom and dad during that time?
I lived with my dad, and my mom was probably at home. But I didn't really understand all what had happened to me. I had a lot of it I can't remember. I've had a life of like riding with someone in a car and then not letting me out and me having to jump and be drugged.
All right. There might be some way that we could help you stop washing floors and walls and all, but that really isn't going to help the problem of you've got some very, very, very deep, unresolved emotions from the trauma. And when you dig down deep and deal with that, you're not going to have to worry about your floors anymore. See, if you have all of this turmoil, let's say, and chaos inside of you, it has to be expressed somehow. It can't just lay there. So for some people, there's rage and anger. Other people, extreme anxiety. And some people, their body kind of relieves itself with some obsessive act and compulsive behavior, like washing the floors all the time. Makes you feel a little more normal or sane, even though it's kind of insane the amount of times you do it. So we need to help you get to the core.
Yeah, well, you got to. I mean, there's some things that you can do about the obsessive compulsive behaviors. There's a brain lock that you can do. But Steve's right on. You've got to deal with these issues that you've just described to us, and there's got to be some healing on the inside of you from the horrible things that happened. And I don't think anything's going to work until you do deal with those internal things.
Well, that pain and those bad experiences, Jill, create tremendous anxiety inside of us. Shame, humiliation, fear. It puts all these emotions inside of us. And if we hold them all in and we don't have a place to take them, like Dave and Steve are asking, what we do then, it leaks out sideways. And essentially what OCD is, it's an anxiety disorder. It's an expression of how you're managing your anxiety inside. So I would pay attention and be aware that oftentimes when you feel your anxious core gets kind of flared up, you probably want to go into a cleaning frenzy at that moment. Where in the heck is Rockland, California?
Sacramento
area?
Kind of that area, a little bit north.
Okay. Well, the good news about that is you're near a big city, And you don't have to be isolated. And one of the most important things that she could ever do would be to get in a group for OCD people, mm-hmm. and get in a grief recovery group and get into a place instead of being isolated where – now, do you have agoraphobia associated with this where you can't leave your house?
I feel like everything is contaminated.
Okay.
And some of it needs to be – sanitary, and then some of it doesn't.
Okay, so my question in, Jill, can you leave your house? Are you okay leaving your house? You spoke of a car earlier. Can you leave your house?
I can leave my house, but sometimes it will take me a week or 8 hours, depending on how clean things are.
Yeah, okay. So really, you're starting to become very locked into a world, like Steve said, it's very much a trap. Like you even said, it's very much a trap that gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And so you really need to look at local programs. Even the county has them in a large city like, you know, Sacramento, where you can get into programs where you get some help. Also, let me also say, Jill, medication can also take that anxiety and drop it down in half, so that an antidepressant that focuses on anxiety, a medication that focuses on the anxiety aspect of depression, can really bring you down to the point where you obsess less. There's actually certain antidepressants that fall into a category of anti-obsessing medications. And so that's what you do. You obsess on cleanliness. You obsess on a germ, those kinds of things. And I think you need to realize your brain got ramped up into the wrong direction.
That's right.
And you might as well give yourself a break, and the medications can help your brain de-escalate and decompress. And how old are you? You sound young.
I'm not. I'm 50. I just turned 50.
Well, you're a young 50-year-old then, Jill, because you sound young. But you need to give yourself a break.
No, I've tried it, like, ask my parents if I could come and stay with them.
Yeah.
They told me I'm too old.
Well, you know what? You're still a little girl inside, Jill. And that because...
I tried to tell them that.
Yeah. Jill, you need to do something more than just going and staying with your parents.
No, you need to get to a counselor, Jill. And then when stay on the line so we can give you some suggestions up there.
I've been trying, but I don't have money.
That's why I talked about county programs.
There are things that you can do that are going to be painful. Going to a recovery group is painful. You're with other people there, and you get afraid that they're going to notice that you're different and obsess over that. But there is something that you can do today to get out of your isolation. It's very difficult to do. But hold on, we'll try to get some help for you, help you find the help. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we're right there.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. We're going to go to one more phone call here, and we're going to talk with, how about we talk with Lee? Lee's calling from Canoga Park, and anybody that's holding, if you call back in an hour, we're going to do another program after this. But this will be our last call for this program. Lee, are you there?
Yeah.
Thank you. And get everybody else out of that room and tell us, how could we help you today? Lee?
Yeah.
How could we help you?
First of all, I want to thank you for listening to everybody's problems all day. I know that's going to be affecting.
Thank you.
I wanted to see what you recommend to restore my relationship with my girlfriend. She's cut off all communication and anything I can do.
Why'd she do that?
Resources. She had gone through a lot of losses, and those losses may have been exacerbated by a molestation that she had when she was anywhere from, I think, 2 months to 10 years old by an uncle. And that's just how I saw it, the isolation she was going through was exacerbated by things in her past. But she'd gone through a lot of losses last year, loss of a job, loss of kids out of the house, and she had separated from a previous relationship. And so she'd gone through a lot of losses, and she was isolating. And when I connected with her, she was still isolating, but I thought she was coming out of it as we progressed. And
but why all of a sudden said, do you think she, led up to her just to say, okay, I'm done?
I was trying to get her to go to church, and she said that my doing that is causing her to isolate again.
Okay, there's one thing to invite someone to church, say, hey, would you like to go to church with me? What is it when you try to get her to go to church? How did you do that?
I suggested that she go to church, and then I suggested going to a different church because she had complaints about the church that she'd gone to.
Right, good idea.
And then I asked her, okay, you know, when I bring this up, how does it make you feel? And she said, it's just one more thing that I'm not doing.
Okay, all right.
And then I tried to bring it to Scripture, so, you know, it's not me that's suggesting you go.
Oh, dear. Well, now that's, you know, somebody that's feeling kind of alienated from the church. When you start using Scripture and preaching, you can alienate them more. Mylon, you have some thoughts on this already.
Lee, why do you feel the need to be a caretaker rescuer here?
I didn't think I was. I mean, if there's a...
Well, let me ask you a question.
Someone who's not going to church, they claim they're a Christian, and they're going through a hard time. The body of Christ is there to...
That's great, but you said girlfriend, and that's two different things. Mm-hmm. And you may, and we don't say this very often on the air, but I think we should. When do you run? You know, when you're dating somebody, you say it's a girlfriend, somebody is, they have a history of broken relationships, you just said that. When do you decide, okay, let's find a way to minister to this gal with perhaps other women? Because you're bringing romance into the quest to bring her back to God as well. You called her a girlfriend, and I'm saying it may be important for you to change your tactic and maybe not look at her as a girlfriend, but see her as a person who desperately needs the body of Christ, and then to free others to go attempt to do that instead of trying to confuse redemption and romance at the same time.
We're not disagreeing with you at all that people need to be in church.
That's right.
But in your particular situation, it confuses everything, and someone that doesn't like church often doesn't like authority, and they don't like being told what to do, and you can really push them back into a corner. And she's saying, I want to isolate again. You're kind of pushing her farther away. So it kind of makes sense that she doesn't want to see you anymore. And there is a way that you could get her back. It involves two words. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I was thinking about...
I was trying to fix you.
Yeah, and I wasn't thinking about what you've been through and what you're going through. I am so sorry. You know, I care about you so much, and my motives were right, and I didn't do it right, and I'm so sorry, and I'm not going to bring up church again. If you ever want to go to church with me, I know you're a big girl. You'll decide to go, or you'll go on your own. But I would really love to spend time with you again. You don't have to worry about me quoting scripture at you or anything. I don't know. I was jumping the gun there, and I hope you'll forgive me. Is there any way you'd be willing to do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think you've got a good chance of kind of attracting her back into your life a little bit.
Yeah, write a letter and go to the florist and have the florist deliver a bouquet of flowers
there
with
you
your
are.
Letter.
But then you also have to, what I'm trying to say, Lee, is you got to ask yourself, is this a safe person that I want to invest the rest of my life into?
Right.
You're calling her girlfriend. Your original question, how do I restore a relationship with a girlfriend that has cut me off, quote unquote? And I'm saying
it may be time to just move on.
Yeah, maybe time to move on, I would be remiss at not bringing that part of the discussion up.
I see you more with someone, a graduate of Bob Jones University or something like that, where they've had scripture quoted. You guys can talk verses and literacy and all those kinds of things.
Look, I love his restorative heart.
Yes.
Okay.
Indeed.
But we have to not. If there's a difference between restoration and romance, and when you try and confuse those two things, we see people get in the deepest of quagmires. I just wanted to use that word.
Yeah, quagmire.
That quagmire, whatever you call it. They can really get in a deep hole, and it's a pretty messy mess down the line.
All right. Let me send you a copy of How We Love, and I think that'll help you with your relationship building. This is the summer, ladies and gentlemen, the middle of the summer, and it is when we have our biggest trouble with finances. And here comes a couple who says, we're going to give you $100,000 if you can raise $100,000 from other people. So if you've ever wanted to double your money, give a dollar and it becomes $2, or give $100, it becomes $200. That's what's on the table. And I just am asking you to respond, especially if you've never given before. Could you just one time come along, and it'll be twice the value? If you join Club New Life, I'll send you the Bible of your choice, either Every Man's Bible or the Life Recovery Bible. Or if you give a gift of $50 or more, I'll send you a Bible, same thing. But we really need your help. We want this $100,000 now so we can use it to buy radio time and work on our debt and things like that. And it's available to us if you'll come through for us. So I'm praying that God is going to touch your heart and say, okay, one time I'll give this ministry some support, and we'll thank you with the Bible.
Steve, we have to buy our radio time.
Right. We have no choice.
The people listen to us for free.
Right.
We have to pay to be on the air.
Please help us do that. We really do need your help. If you need some help, please call us. We've got the Healing is a Choice weekend coming up just in a couple of weeks there in Philadelphia. We also have women in the battle for those women who've been affected by pornography used by men and then lose it for life. And we have counselors everywhere.
And Every Man's Battle.
And Every Man's Battle. Every month for every man. Thank you, Dr. Dave Stoop. Thank you, Mylon. And thanks to all of you who watch or listen. We don't take it for granted that you choose to be with us at this time. We love you. We care about you. We pray for you. Hope you have a great, great day today. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.